passage of Scripture comes from the Acts of the Apostles. I'll be reading from the second chapter, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it is good for us to celebrate, to recognize this day of Pentecost. It is good for us to hear the story once again about how the church gathered together, fearing what would be next for them after the crucifixion of their Lord Jesus. How they were gathered together and how this powerful event began to change not just the lives of individuals, but shaped the future of the Christian church. It's good for us to hear this story. It's good for us to hear about how God's power is at work. For so often we hear stories of power. We've heard another story again this week about the power of evil and violence at another one of our high schools. We hear the stories of power in creation, how winds like hurricanes and tornadoes blow across our lands and devastate people's lives. We hear those kinds of stories. It's good to hear the stories where God is the author, like this story of Pentecost, where the breath of heaven comes upon the people to equip, to empower them, to send us out, if you will, to be the loving presence of a God who loves us enough to have sent His own Son into the world to give His life so that we might have life in Him, life eternal. It's good for us to celebrate, to recognize the power of Pentecost. You know, I mentioned earlier, and Ricky has, that this is really the day that we kind of commemorate the birth of the church. And I think, I've read the story to you this morning, and yet there's more to come in the Acts of the Apostles, of course. But there's a couple of things I want us to consider this morning. This morning, it's Pentecost Sunday, but it's also a morning when we have recognized some of the accomplishments of you all, because there's so much more to come. And I think that's at the heart of this story. Telling the church for 2,000 years, friends, there is so much more to come. So much more of what God has for us, what God hopes in us, and how we, by the grace of God, might respond to what God has for us. Let's consider a couple of things this morning. I think the Holy Spirit coming upon the church 2,000 years ago, and the Holy Spirit at work in and through the church for the last 2,000 years ago, was a way for us to begin to sense the overwhelming love that God has for us. I mean, we can pick up our Bible. We can go to Bible studies. We can read and hear the stories of Jesus, of how God created the world, and at the right time God sent His only Son. But if you were listening as Logan read the text from John's Gospel today, you heard Jesus Himself talk as He was preparing the disciples. He was preparing them because He said, in essence, "Look, when I'm gone, and it's going to take me being gone," He said, "for you to realize the great power, the ways that you will live even more faithfully when I'm not physically around you than what you think and hope and see today." Now, it's sad that sometimes we think that there isn't much more of our faith. We have Jesus. We have invited Jesus into our hearts. Jesus, as we've been talking the last few weeks, abides in me and I abide in Him. He is the vine and I am the branches. We get comfortable in ways in that, and we don't make room for this power of the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. I like to tell people, you know what I see the Holy Spirit doing? When we read Scripture, when we talk in terms of Jesus, when we watch, when we hear, when we read and see Jesus healing people, performing miracles, stepping into the midst of tragedy, giving people hope, restoring lives, pulling together broken pieces, we have that. And we see that and experience that in reading Scripture. But Jesus says there's so much more out there to come. And if you will make room for this Holy Spirit, whom God will send when I'm resurrected and back, that's what we know now, when He has ascended to be back at the right hand of the one who sent Him, when the Holy Spirit comes into the world, greater things will be accomplished. You will be able to sense love, I think, in even greater life-changing ways. And yet, we are timid around the Holy Spirit. We don't want to have the kind of faith we want to give Jesus. We just aren't sure. Maybe it's because we can't see. Maybe it's because we can't touch. And this Holy Spirit kind of keeps us at bay sometimes. We don't have the kind of trust when we talk about the Holy Spirit as we do with Jesus. Even though we didn't touch Jesus, even though we didn't sit at the table with Him, per se, we have stories where our ancestors, the disciples, did, and the church has had this kind of faith to pass down for generations. So the Holy Spirit comes into the world, and I think it's so important for us to consider that power, to consider the extent of God's love. Author Nelson Price tells a story about one of the foremost, best-regarded piano tuners in the South. His name was Charles Pritchett. Now, Charles Pritchett said, "Look, when it comes to tuning pianos, it's near impossible," he said, to tune one piano from another piano." And he said, "People do this all the time. They bring a piano in, put it beside a piano, and it just is never tuned right." He said, "But if you use a tuning fork, you can tune one piano, and then you can take that same tuning fork and tune the other piano, and they're both in tune with one another." Friends, I think Charles Pritchett could have been speaking about the Holy Spirit. So often you and I go about our ways, and we'll say, "Well, you know, Jesus is guiding me this way," and sometimes we're not using the right tuning fork to tune our lives. We haven't considered the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who comes amongst us when we are gathered. The Holy Spirit, when invited, comes into a group of believers to help us understand these great truths that Jesus was speaking about to the disciples before He left them. That the Spirit of truth will reveal these things to us. And so often, I think we kind of shortchange ourselves and maybe even God. We don't consider the power that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives or even into the life of our churches. And so we kind of miss out. We get kind of stuck. There was some of you recognize the name Blaise Pascal. He was a 17th century scientist and theologian. And Pascal was a person of faith. he had some scriptures and some sayings that he literally had sewn into his coat, so that when he wore his coat, he could draw upon those passages and those sayings for strength. One of those things they said Blaise Pascal had written inside one of his coats was this message: Christ will be in agony until the end of the world. Now some of you are saying, no way, how could Jesus be in agony? He's done all that he could do. He's ascended. He's at the right hand of the God of all creation. How could he be in agony? Well, friends, if you see how Jesus lived in human flesh, if you see the great extent he went to not just sow seeds of love, but to knit a community of followers together, to keep them unified. Communion is a good word. To keep them in communion. And if you see that Jesus is separated now from that body of believers, that communion, that community that he built, until he comes again at the end of the world, maybe that helps us understand what Blaise Pascal was saying. Jesus yearns for community, for us to be in communion. And it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are reminded and brought together, knit together with the risen Christ in communion. A community of believers unified not by things that make us different from other believers, but by the very love of Almighty God and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Knit together to be one, to proclaim to this world and all of its shattered and broken ways that God is the source of all greatness, all glory, all grace. That Jesus is the Son revealing that love of the Father. That the Holy Spirit is at work and empowering followers, Christians like you and I, to step out of our comfort zones and to step into the brokenness of the world. To proclaim Christ crucified but resurrected. We have this power of God's Spirit to do these things. So we talk in terms of empowerment, of the ability to get beyond the things that we think limit us. I can't do that. I'm not called to do that. I can't go there. I won't do that. And we shortchange this work of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes our separateness, our divisions in the Christian church call us out. Sometimes we hear, well, you're not a Christian as much. You're not a people of faith. You don't worship like we do. You don't use the music we do. You don't sing the songs you do. You don't clap and holler and shout. And I'm reminded of a story. I'm reminded of a story where a grandmother took her young granddaughter to church. Now, back in the day, some would have described this church as maybe a holy roller kind of church. For this church worshipped in highly emotional ways. They said people would shout and people would jump as they worshipped. And so this young girl went there and the grandmother was explaining to her about how these people had experienced the Holy Spirit. And as the little girl looked around and saw the worshipers jumping, she asked her mother a question, her grandmother a question. She says, "Is this what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit?" And the grandmother, in all of her great wisdom, said, "Honey, it doesn't matter how high they jump. It matters what they do when they're on the ground." Churches like us, we may not shout and jump. We may not have rock music. But what we do on the ground shows the power, the work of the Holy Spirit. When you look at these young people and others, when you look at their dedication and the commitment in the face of the temptations of the world, the ways they are following the paths, when you hear people like Pastor Ricky sharing what the church is doing in the world today, folks, the Holy Spirit is at work. And there's so much more, not just for these young people, but so much more for you as an individual, but certainly in the life of the church. So much more ahead. But we have to trust, we have to believe that the Holy Spirit begins to connect the dots that Jesus left. That's how I try to describe sometimes to people when we read scriptures what Jesus has done. He tells us, "I don't have room to tell you. I'm not able to do everything I wanted to." But he also told us, "When I have gone to be with the Father, this Holy Spirit is going to help you. You'll do even greater things." I call that connecting the dots. We may not be able to turn to Scripture and get every answer to every question we have, but if we begin to trust in the empowerment and the love that the Holy Spirit brings into this world, friends, we change the world one life at a time. And so I'm thankful that we've heard the story of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, the day when we remember the Holy Spirit coming upon those gathered in Jerusalem. We could continue reading the story and we could see how they came together in a community of believers. So many were baptized that first day. They began to eat in each other's homes. They began to gather together in the porticos of the temple to worship in community. And the church was born to continue to be the presence of the risen Christ in the world, never forgetting that Jesus the Christ is the head, but filled with the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit. We are those people. And we follow in the footsteps of others, thousands and thousands of others for 2,000 years who have been trying to figure life out, trying to figure out how to bring the word of the risen Savior, the hope of Almighty God, into the broken places and lives of the people we encounter. There's much that lies ahead. There's so much and so much life for all of us to live. And so I encourage us in the days to come to find ways to let the Holy Spirit work in your life and through your life and invite you into an ever-growing life of discipleship so that we do what Jesus had hoped that we would do, live in community with one another, not focusing on the things that make us different, but on the great love of God that unifies us. In the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a special day. Pentecost Sunday. Senior Sunday. We are about to baptize a new little sister into the church. Into the universal church. We're also going to be welcoming at least one family. I know the Father Gills, so I'm going to ask Rob and family to make their way down. And also the Edwards family, Casey and Russell and children and all those who come as sponsors, for you all to make your way here. And I'm just going to go ahead and make the invitation. If there's anyone else who would like to become a part of this congregation, if you'd like to unite with us, you too are welcome to come forward. So you all begin to make your way down here. Bring your hymnals, family, if you would. You'll need them for the responses. Come on, Claire. Come on, Mason.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we are given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift that is offered to us without price. This morning, I am pleased to present Hadley Kate Edwards for baptism, as well as the Father Guild, Rob and Stephanie, and Riley and Reed, who are joining in membership with this congregation. Russell and Casey, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? If so, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to peoples of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that through your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? I ask those of you, family and friends, who are standing in support as sponsors of Hadley this morning, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? we will. I now ask the whole congregation, I invite you to stand together. We're on page 35 if you have your hymnals, but we're also on the screens. I ask the congregation, do you, as Christ's holy body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround her with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her trust of God and be found faithful in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us now join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Congregation, you may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in His final victory.
All praise to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever.
Hadley Kate, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Congregation, no, family, come over and let's lay hands on her. Hadley, the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit,
that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation, our newest, cutest little sister. And you have affirmed your faith and promised to do all that you can to raise her in the faith, to be a Sunday school teacher, to be a mentor, to inspire her to be the disciple that Christ has called her. Welcome, little sister. All right. I'm not going to push my chances. We're going to light a candle for her. This is her birthday candle. Rob and Stephanie, Riley and Reed, y'all come forward. Remember your baptism and be thankful. May God work in your life. Stephanie, remember your baptism and be thankful. May God work in your life. And now may the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Now, Rob and Stephanie, as members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Very good. Congregation, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, to confirm their hope, and to perfect them in love.
We give all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation at the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
And now may the God of all grace, who has called us all to eternal glory in Christ, strengthen you and equip you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and in peace. And so we say welcome. You all want to stay up here? Huh? Okay. I'm going to ask the Father Gills just to remain up here so that you might come and greet them, receive them. They've been a part of the life of the church for quite a while now, so you may think, we already thought they were members, so they just made it official this morning, and so we do say welcome. We do have a hymn to sing, maybe one verse. Well, it is just one verse, isn't it? Stand up and tell us how you want us to sing it. May the Spirit be upon you.
In the faith we sing, number 2002, I will call upon the Lord. That's 2002.
Before our benediction, I'd remind you that our administrative board is meeting immediately after this worship service down in the fellowship hall, and there will be a little bit of food for you this month, so you won't be hungry for an hour. Receive now this benediction. May the Spirit who has been at work in us this morning and the Spirit that has driven out God's people through the ages drive us here from this place so that we might be the carriers of God's love out into the dark and devastated places of this world so that through us, others might come to know the deep and abiding love of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.